Sunday morning. We've had some of the scriptures on it already in our first meeting, and also it's been mentioned again in the second meeting now. But I don't propose to speak on that particular subject this morning. The Lord has been leading me to another thing, which all of us know a lot about, but have not experienced it, and that is earthquakes. If you were here last Sunday night, you would see the earthquakes down in Haiti pictured by the Miriams. Your brother Miriam and his son took pictures. The terrible, terrible trouble they've experienced there. And while I'm saying that, some of the people brought things for the Miriams to carry on the plane down to Haiti, but you can only take so much on a plane, let's face it. They brought a lot of stuff, and there's a whole box full of stuff that they could not take. So if you've brought stuff for them to take, and it's still here, you might as well take it home. I don't know what else to do with it. It's down there in the box, down on the table. Okay. Now about earthquakes. I would say, here's a subtitle, God's Way of Getting Man's Attention. God's Way of Getting Man's Attention by Earthquakes. We're going to read some scriptures to prove what I'm saying. First one is, we're going to have some of the Old Testament, some of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we turn to Numbers 16, and we're going to talk about a person named Korah, K-O-R-A-H, Korah. Numbers 16, reading verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, and the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the Pelah, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, and every one of them, and the Lord is among them. And wherefore then lift ye yourselves up above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. He spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even to him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Now this, what this is saying is that this Korah has some other people, in fact 250 other people, who were saying the same thing to Moses and Aaron. You're taking too much on yourselves. You've become the leaders of this whole group. We could be leaders of it too. And Moses heard, he thought, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. The Lord instituted his priesthood, and certain ones are supposed to be in the priesthood. And it wasn't these people, Korah and his people. So we turn over now to verse 28. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these things, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die in a common death of all men, or if they be visited at the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the Lord swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Here we find the Lord's answer to these men who were in rebellion against him. And that is a symbol of some things that happen today. People that are in rebellion against the Lord. In this particular case, the Lord acted upon the desire of Moses to get things set right. And all of a sudden, it says, the ground clave unto them. In other words, it opened up. And it says that their houses and these 250 princes and all these people that made complaints against Moses went down alive into the pit, and the pit closed upon them. This gives us some of a lesson to know what happens when people complain against the Lord and against his people. Then we have another one, the case of Elijah. 1 Kings 19. First Kings 19, reading at verse 9. Now Elijah had become very discouraged because the people had gone away from the Lord and were trying to serve other gods. And Elijah thought, I'm the only one left that's trying to serve the Lord. Verse 9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets, and with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. But after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire, but after the fire, a still small voice. He spoke to Elijah like this. Now we look at verse 18. This is what the Lord says. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So the Lord was being apparent to Elijah and his discouragement. He said, don't worry, Elijah. You're not the only one that stands up for God. I've got 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal, that false god, or kissed him. So, even though the earthquake alone came, the great wind and so on, he came with a small voice and spoke to Elijah and said, I'm here. And I've got 7,000 men that have not done bad. Take courage and go on. So there we have an earthquake also at that time. Then another one in Isaiah chapter 1. Now we find that God is going to punish Judah because of the idols in King Uzziah's time. Isaiah 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, we'll read more. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Chapter 2. Verse 17. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks, into the caves of the earth, the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself, and to worship to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Here we find that the Lord is going to rise up and shake terribly the earth, and it's known as the great earthquake of King Uzziah's time. Now, it happened about 760 B.C. We have another scripture we're going to get into. I'll tell you more about it. Now, this is a picture of what's going to happen later on when the Lord rises to shake terribly the earth. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, verse 4. This is when the Christ comes again to earth to reign as king. And his feet shall stand in that day upon Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And he shall flee to the valley of the mountains, and shall reach unto Azel. Yea, he shall flee, like as he fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord shall, my God, shall come, and all the saints with thee. It shall come to pass in that day that light shall be not clear nor dark, and so on. But what we're talking about here is at the coming of the Lord, who his feet stand upon the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives is going to cleave apart. And it says it's reminding people of what happened during the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And it says that the people would flee. They fled like they did at the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Now, this happened about 760 B.C. We had a brother here one time from New Jersey, Gordon France. I don't know if any of you remember him. He was an archaeologist that worked for the State of Israel. He said that the earthquake at that time, they discovered, was about 8 on the Richter scale, which is about what happened in Haiti this past time. It was a bad time, and it was to be remembered. Amos chapter 1. Amos chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. He is still to be remembered of what happened that time, when the awful earthquake happened in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Now we turn to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29, verse 1 and verse 6. Woe to Ariel, the city of David, where David dwelt, and ye, year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Verse 6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake, a great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. You see, the Lord didn't fool around. When these people went after their false gods, idols, he said, you're not going to get away with that. And he didn't. He visited them with terrible times of earthquakes, even like perhaps what's happened in Haiti and what's happened in Chile. We had some letters back on the board there from Christians down in Haiti and also from Christians in Chile explaining what happened. There's several. In Chile, only 300 and some died, I think. Oh, man. But there were thousands of people in Haiti that perished. And those pictures we saw last Sunday night. How many saw those pictures Sunday night? Well, I think the Miriams are showing them someplace else today so that people will be alerted. Many Christians and many people came to Christ, too. He showed times when people came to Christ through having no place to go, having nothing to eat, no place to sleep, living in tents or tarpaulins over them. The tarpaulins couldn't be held up because there was no wood. They burned up all the trees in the island, so there was nothing to hold the tarpaulins up. And it was 90 degrees in those tents. You can imagine how bad these things were. And yet some people came to Christ as a result of these meetings that they had down there. So the Lord is saying, woe to Jerusalem, you're going to get it too. Then we turn to Job. Job chapter 9, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. Job is probably one of the first books of the Bible, and he's telling here what God does when people don't obey him. Then over in the book of Joel, J-O-E-L, Joel, calling the minor prophets. Joel, chapter 3. Verse 14, what's to be happening when the Lord returns? Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So Joel there is showing what will happen at the coming of the Lord when he puts his foot down on the Mount of Olives and the mountains fall apart. Now we turn over to the New Testament. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he, that is Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all those things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So the Lord told the disciples at that time, that's what's going to happen before the Lord comes. These are going to be the beginnings of sorrows. Now we turn to chapter 27. Chapter 27. verse 50. This is at the time of the crucifixion when the Lord Jesus died on the cross for your sins and my sins. Here's what happened. Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. And when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Can you imagine these people now that put the Savior to death? When they saw the earthquake happen, they go, "Whoa, how did this happen? God is in this thing." And the centurion that was there, said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now, it was like a miracle what happened at the earthquake. Some of the graves opened up from the earthquake, and people that were dead in them came out alive. The Lord raised up people to be alive again. And it says they went into the holy city, into Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. People could say, "Wait a minute, I thought that that person died. Here he is again. We buried him. He was in the grave. How can he be here again?" These things happen from the earthquake and from the power of God as to what happened by the Lord speaking to people. "What have you done? You crucified the Son of God. You killed him." And so we find that God was displeased when those people did that. And for one thing, in the temple of God, the temple down there had a great big curtain that separated the Holy of Holies place from just the plain holy place. And only the high priest could enter into there once a year with the blood for the sins of the people. At the instant that Christ died, this heavy curtain that's supposed to be 6 inches thick was cut open from the top to the bottom. It says, who did it? God did it. God opened up that curtain, meaning that now people can enter into the holiest of all. We can enter God's presence because the place has been opened by Christ's death for us on the cross. And we read in chapter 28 now, verse 1. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, turn the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became a dead man. The angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him." So they departed to do that. Here we have an earthquake, and an angel comes down from heaven to take care of things. And when people came to see what happened at the place where the Lord lay, he was gone. Why? Because he rose from the dead. He was not alive anymore. He was alive for now because he rose from the dead. So that's the blessedness of the resurrection, which we celebrate on Easter. But the Lord rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. Now the next earthquake we come to is in Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, verse 25. We find that Paul and Silas had been put into prison because of their faithfulness to God in preaching the gospel. And it says here in verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises under God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and were baptized, he and all his straightway. Imagine this earthquake. There were prisoners in a prison, and an earthquake happens all of a sudden. How did it happen? God made it happen. Yes. It was a strange earthquake in that it says that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were loosed and everyone's bands were loosed. In other words, here we have something that's happened. The earthquake has jarred all the doors apart. All the doors that were keeping the prisoners in. Even the bands on their arms were broken off. How? Well, because God did it. And when the keeper of the prison, when he saw what was happening, he thought, that's the end of me. I might as well kill myself. If all these prisoners are loosed, they run out of the prison. Paul says, no, that's not the way it's going to be. Paul says, don't worry about it. We are all here. All the prisoners are here. And when the keeper of the prison saw that, he was going to kill himself, but he didn't, because Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And when this happened, he sprang in where they were, and he came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That same question you put to you today. What must I do to be saved? You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Take him as your Savior to be saved. That very thing. And so he did that very thing. He who was going to store a sword to kill himself. No, he says, I got a different ending than I thought I was going to have. This new ending is, I've come across the prisoners who are telling me how I can be a real Christian, how I can be like them. When I'm in a prison, they sing praises to God instead of moaning and crying. They're in there singing praises to God. I want to be saved, he says. So do you want to be saved this morning? The answer is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, there's a message to Christians in these last days, Hebrews 12. Reading verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This word, yet more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, that the things which are made, that those things which cannot be shaken will remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may have served the Lord acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. That's the message to you and me today. Let's have grace and serve God with reverence, godly fire. Then the last portion is in the book of Revelation, some of the apocalyptic judgments that are going to be handed out by God. First one is Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, reading verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? Then in chapter 8, verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Chapter 11. Verse 11. There were two witnesses there in heaven that died, and then they rose again. And in verse 11 it says, after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The same hour was there a great earthquake. The tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. And then also, verse 15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and the wrath has come. The time of the dead, they should be judged. Thou should give reward unto the servants of prophets and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. The temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in this temple the ark of the testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. Now, chapter 16. Chapter 16, reading verse 17. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since the men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. The cities and nations fell. Great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give her the cup of wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away. The mountains were not found. And there fell from heaven, fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Here we have the verses in the Bible that talk about earthquakes. And you can see they came upon people because of their distrust of God, not believing in God, not trusting in him. How these things happened in Haiti, I don't know. But one thing we find out is there was a country there that believed in voodoo. Voodoo means false gods, the devil, all these terrible things that go on down there. Because they didn't trust in God, they gave themselves over to trusting in voodoo. You can see what's happened. Nobody has to explain it. It's terrible, terrible times. So the answer to all this is, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Can we sing a hymn in closing? Number 347. Life at best is very brief.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the finding of a sheep in time. Fleeting taste of telling fast, die will soon be past, and the fatal line be passed in time. Calls you be in time. If it's in your longer way, you may find a hope again, and your cry will be to be in time. Various flowers soon decay, youth and beauty pass away, never know if to stay, be in time. While God's spirit bids you come, you seal your hopeless doom, be in time, be in time, be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If it's in your longer way, you may find the open gate, and your cry be just too late, be in time. Time is finally 24. Church for God tonight, till the times of Jesus Christ, be in time. Oh, I pray you count the cost, the fatal line be crossed, and your soul in hell be lost, be in time. Be in time, be in time. Voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If it's in your longer way, you'll find no open gate, and your cry will just delay, be in time. Sinner, whom the warning voice, make the Lord your final choice, heaven will rejoice, be in time. Come from darkness into light, come let Jesus make you light. Come and learn forever tonight, be in time. Be in time, be in time. For the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If it's in your longer way, find open gate.
Our dear Father, we thank thee that thou hast put things in the Bible to warn us that we should be in time to accept thy salvation and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Thank thee, Lord, that thou hast warned us with these earthquakes and warned the people of Israel and Judah, people who are following after false gods and idols, and yet thou hast warned them to turn to thee for salvation. Lord, we pray now that any here in our group that does not know thee, they may turn to thee, Lord, while there's yet time, before the day of punishment happens, the earthquakes happen. We pray now this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. amen. The end times.